As a result of the Congressional Supercommittee's failure to reach an agreement on reducing the U.S. debt, the Pentagon says it is facing more than $500 billion in cuts to its budget. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says those cuts would be devastating and will invite aggression against the U.S. by other countries. And Republican Congressman Howard Buck McKeon of California declared, "I will not be the Armed Services Committee chairman who presides over the crippling of our military." But Lawrence Korb, who served as Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration, calls the predictions of disaster nonsense. Leaving aside the hot debate over what can and can't be cut from the Pentagon budget, what do the raw numbers tell us? Brett Aarons is a columnist for The Wall Street Journal and Market Watch, and he joins us in the studio. Brett, welcome.
Good to be here.
Brett, you have been running these numbers, and you say the cuts aren't even cuts.
Oh, of course not. No, they're not planning to cut anything. All they're doing is they're saying we're going to increase it more slowly than we had planned to do so before. I mean, you know, they were penciling in a 23% increase over the next 10 years, and now it's only 16%. So it's going to go from defense spending was $703 billion last year, and it's going to go up to about $818 billion 10 years from now. That's after these, quote, devastating doomsday cuts. So we're going, you know, we're slashing it from 703 all the way down to 818.
So as you write in Washington, a slow increase is called a cut.
Yeah, nothing ever gets cut in Washington, but, you know, that's true for the Pentagon as it is for other programs.
So you've just given us some key numbers that the current fiscal year military spending in the U.S. is $703 billion. After the so-called cuts, it's expected to go up to?
$818 billion 10 years from now.
Any other key numbers we should know to understand the scale of the spending?
Well, what's important to understand is where we're starting from. Defense spending right now is absolutely off the charts by any modern historical measure. The only years in modern American history when we have spent more on defense in sort of 2011 dollars, adjusting for inflation, were 1943, 1944, and 1945. That's it. We're spending more than we did at the peak in Vietnam. We're spending more than we did at the peak of Ronald Reagan's defense buildup. We're spending more than we did at the peak in Korea. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
We saw one report that says the Pentagon budget has grown for 11 years in a row, which is a modern record.
Sure, sure. But I mean, you know, that's how we get off the charts. And, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, it's smaller as a percentage of GDP. This is the usual talking point, and it's irrelevant.
Now, on the other hand, we are fighting two wars. Do we not need those increases, or do we not at least expect to see them?
No. I mean, we're fighting two wars, and that's a reason why we need to spend some money on defense. Obviously, over the next 10 years, we're not expecting to still be fighting those two wars at the same level of intensity. The point is it really more expensive? Is it really a bigger security problem to fight Afghanistan and Iraq than it was Korea or Vietnam or the Soviet Union, which was a developed, advanced military power? I mean, we're spending far more than we were back then.
Although the types of technology we're using now are so advanced, aren't they necessarily more expensive?
Actually, I would argue it probably is the reverse. I mean, the fact is, in the past, you had to put a lot more boots on the ground. I don't want to be a bit too cute and talk about an iPhone effect in defense spending, but nonetheless, we all know that technology gets cheaper and cheaper in real terms. This level of spending is absolutely staggering, given we are not facing the kind of sort of advanced military threat that we were facing during the Cold War.
We should note that the numbers we're talking about come from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. You also say, Brett Aarons, that despite the budget agreement that mandates these cuts in the defense budget, they're actually unlikely to happen, in part because the defense industry lobbies so hard.
Well, look at the conversation already in Washington. We have people on both sides of the aisle denouncing these outrageous cuts, and they're not even cuts. We are in the middle of a budget crisis. And, you know, a member of the Obama administration, the defense secretary, is going around tearing his hair out, you know, over the fact that, you know, our record defense spending is only going to go up by 16%. And then you have to factor in, you know, the effect of lobbying. And we've seen with Citizens United, corporations now have
unlimited,
unprecedented ability to, you know, buy whatever outcome. Basically, Washington has become, you know, we have a mall in Washington for a reason. It's basically a mall where you as a corporation go and you just buy whatever you want. So they will buy the policies they want. The defense contractors are, I mean, even now, I bet you they are producing commercials that will be airing soon, raising the temperature on this spending a lot of money.
You also make the point in your recent column that not only should we not be feeling sorry for the defense industry, in your view, but maybe it's about to benefit because so many developing countries will be wanting to buy military equipment and weapons that they may be buying from places like Lockheed and Raytheon.
Oh, sure. I suggested half-tongue-in-cheek that we should all be going out and buying stock in the defense contractors. They've come down a long way. Wall Street, like I guess some people reading the media, may be under the impression that defense spending is going to fall. Two things that I think might affect that. One, of course, as I was saying, was lobbying. The other is, you know, we now have essentially the world's, you know, leading defense industry. And as the emerging markets get richer and as they ramp up their defense spending, I imagine that they will be coming to U.S. contractors to be buying all the latest equipment. So, they're likely to benefit from that as well.
I also want to point out that you have long argued for cutting defense spending, although that's not the debate we intend to have today. It's simply to run the basic numbers. And again, CBO basic, nonpartisan CBO numbers.
Sure. Listen, these numbers come from the Congressional Budget Office. They're not my numbers. They are the numbers that come out of the CBO. I was looking last night, as it happens, at some of the Pentagon's own numbers about, you know, the scale of America's military. I mean, we have a battle fleet of 300 ships. You know, look at a map. You know, where is the armada coming from which we need defending with 300 ships? I mean, you could barely make it up during a budget crisis. You know, we have 750 military bases around the world. 750. I mean, it's simply the scale of, you know, the size of the Pentagon today is absolutely gigantic. And we're talking at a time when we have a serious budget crisis and we're talking about what we're going to cut. And my argument is, if we want to cut the budget, why are we not talking seriously about cutting defense spending?
Brett Ahrens is a columnist for the Wall Street Journal and Market Watch. You can go to our website, hereandnow.org, to read his column, Why Everything is Wrong About Defense, in which he writes that what Washington calls a cut is really just a more modest increase than you were expecting. Thank you.
My pleasure.